Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel and stand as we read from God's holy word. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 26 to 34. 2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse 26. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure, and with the perverted, you show yourself astute. And you save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you abase. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on high places. Here ends our reading. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would bring conviction to our hearts, that you would prick our conscience in areas where we are disbelieving you and where we are rebellious. And we pray, Lord, that you would comfort us where we are afraid or broken. Lord, we need you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Recently, I was watching a TV show, and there was this really compelling scene where a woman who had lost her husband and was feeling very hopeless, and she had already been feeling kind of stuck in life and frustrated. Now she's lost her beloved husband, and she is applying for a new job, and she's at this interview, and she runs to the bathroom to compose herself. And she doesn't have much confidence in what's going to be happening. And she looks herself in the mirror, and she's stressed out. And she says something like, "Oh, I don't know how to do this, but I'm talking to you, universe. I need some help here." And she just doesn't even know who to go to, who to ask, where to find hope in her moment of struggle. I don't know if you can relate to that, but many people are looking for what we might call a knight in shining armor, or help in the midst of trouble. Maybe you don't even know, like this woman, this fictional character, you don't know who to call upon, so you just ask the universe. But we do need help and protection in our life, don't we? Maybe things are going pretty well for you and you don't realize that you need shelter or a protector. Maybe it's because you're a tough guy or a tough gal and you think that you got things handled pretty well. Or maybe it's because you normally feel pretty safe and like you have most of what you need, but you actually do need shelter even if you don't realize it. Maybe some ways that we can realize our plight, or at least we could consider what other people are going through that could be true for us at some time or in some place. Think of the mass shootings recently. You know, they didn't happen in our town, but how terrifying would that be? And if you were faced with that, if you had a gunman nearby you, who would you call upon? Would you be crippled with fear? Would you only know to try to ask the universe for help? Or think of our soldiers in war. I know a number of people that in this room that have loved ones that are overseas on the battlefront. You need to know who to call upon, don't you? I could think, too, of the tough situation that many are in our schools and our workplaces, even online, in social media, all the slanderous attacks and bullying There's some people who feel pretty hopeless in these situations as people tear them down with cruel words and abuse them. There's even emotional abuse. People daily, even if they look like they've got it together on the outside, people living in fear, stress, and anxiety. And even if you don't realize this, every single one of us has a spiritual battle going on with the evil one, the devil. Scripture talks about his work as lies, leading us astray, but also as fiery darts that he throws at you as he tries to break you down and harm you. We need shelter even from the wrath of God. Some of you might really realize how sinful you are and feel very hopeless under the weight of that. Even thinking about God or of Jesus, you might think of how unworthy you are of him, how afraid you would be to stand in his presence. Our text, I believe, has some great hope for us. And it was written by King David. And what do we know about King David? Well, we have the story of when he was just a shepherd boy, and the Lord used him in a mighty way to go and kill Goliath, the giant, the champion of the Philistines. When a whole army of full-grown men was crippled in fear as this champion giant called out for anybody to challenge him, this little boy David stepped out and fought him. And the Lord actually gave him victory with one little stone from his slingshot. And he felled that giant. But you know, things got pretty tough for David after that. In fact, he got so popular after this that when Saul placed him in charge of a bunch of men and an army, and he continued to be victorious, King Saul became very jealous of young David, and he actually tried to kill him. While David was in the palace playing his lyre, he was a musician, King Saul was so jealous that he took a javelin or a spear and he said, "I'm going to kill David. I'm going to pin him to the wall." And he's sitting there playing a song, and King Saul threw this spear, and David twice evaded him. And then from that point on, there was this contentious relationship where King Saul even sent armies after David and chased him through the mountains and the hills. David feared for his life on a regular basis. He was supposed to be one that God favored, and now he was in such a helpless place. And he really needed to know who he could trust. So, whose side is God on, or who does God help? I think that's a pretty important question. Our text starts out here then with some answers to these questions. It says, "With the kind you show yourself kind, or with the merciful you show yourself merciful." This starts off a list of things that shows how God reacts in different situations. So with kind and merciful people, God is always kind and merciful with them. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the perverted, you show yourself astute. And so with pure people, God always shows himself to be pure with them. But with perverted people, he is astute. Or with the crooked, in another translation, you make yourself seem torturous. I thought that was a really interesting translation. That God, with crooked people, always acts in a torturous way, or so he seems torturous to them. He is against the crooked, but he is with the pure. With the humble or with the afflicted people, he is with them, but he is not with the haughty. In fact, he wants to bring down the haughty or the proud. And so this is the way God always works. So if you are merciful or pure, humble or afflicted, God is on your side. But if you are crooked, If you are perverted, if you are haughty or proud, God sets himself against you. So God is telling us the things that he delights in and the things that he despises. But David here then cries out, rejoicing in the midst of this, that God is his lamp. And he calls him Lord, my God. And he says, my God lightens my darkness. And so God, in this case, actually was showing favoritism to King David and helping him out. The interesting thing here, too, is that David was a man who struggled with sin, just like us, too. And in many ways, he was impure. In fact, he was a murderer, an adulterer, a liar, and yet he could call God his God and his Lord and say that God was lighting his path. And we need to see how this could possibly be true for a sinner like him. Because as I was reading through that first list, you might have been thinking, well, I don't really know how pure I am. Maybe I'm merciful sometimes, but I know times I'm not merciful or kind. And I struggle with pride and haughtiness in my life too. Maybe you're wondering if God is actually on your side. Let me tell you, there were times when David probably wondered if the Lord was on his side, as he was hiding and running, fearing for his life, as it would seem that God was against him because everybody else was too. So how do you get help from God then? How can I get his help? In verse 29, we start seeing 29 through 31, we see some answers here. In 29, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. The Lord comes and he shines light into the dark places. And he says, for by you I can run upon a troop, against a troop, and his God, and by his God, he says, I can leap over a wall. God comes and helps by shining light into the darkness, by coming alongside and strengthening you and protecting you, even against an army. We see in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, the Lord had answered David's prayers and cries for help, and even though he had King Saul and this army chasing him, he always escaped. The Lord always shined a light onto his path and guided him through these difficult situations, protected him even against an army. So how does God help? He helps even by intervening in our life and protecting us, providing for our daily needs. He says, this God, verse 31, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. You know, God never fails in anything that he does. His way is perfect. And he also never strays from the right path. He always does what is right. But he also keeps his promises. This is quite an amazing thing because earlier in David's life, he had made a promise to him that he would sit on the throne and reign forever, and that his descendants would sit upon the throne. God had promised him and made a covenant with him. And then in the midst of all of this, there were many times where David's life was on the line, as even later his own son was trying to kill him and raise a coup against him. His life was on the line many times. But always God preserved him and his family line, and he kept his promise to him. This is comforting, too, because God keeps his promises to you. And in this Bible, in the Word of God, you have many promises. And the Lord's ways are always perfect, and he always keeps his promises. So if you read a promise, if you hear a promise from this word, you can take it to the bank. You can hold on to this. God will keep his promises to you. And it says then in the latter part of that verse 31, he is a shield to all who take refuge in him. And so God invites you to take refuge in him. He is not a God who is trying to bring wrath against you without wanting to give you a way to escape. In fact, he invites you to come take shelter within him, to take refuge in him. So how does God help you? He helps by intervening and actually providing a safe place in him for you. But who is this God? And that we really need to know who he is, don't we? So that we're not like this woman just crying out to an empty universe, hoping that somebody out there could do something and somebody cares. But who is the God? Who is the one that we can help? Because, you know, a God really is anyone or anything that we would go to for in our moment of help. But there is only one who can truly help you. It says in verse 32 then, for who is God besides the Lord? The Lord is the God. He is the one that you can cry to in your moment of help. You don't need to just throw it out there to anyone who will hear or to wonder who it might be, but it is the Lord, the God of the Bible, Jesus. Let's hear more about this Lord. David calls him a rock. Who is a rock besides our God? He is a rock. I think of Jesus and in his conversation with Peter. And Peter had just made a strong confession about Jesus being the Christ. And he said to Peter, on this rock, on this confession, I will build my church. Jesus, the confession of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, is the rock that the church stands on. God is our rock. It goes on in our text, verse 33, God is my strong fortress. And he sets the blameless in his way. My strong fortress, or my strong refuge. You know, we get this picture from these words, this fortress, like it's a beautiful palace with turrets and just an impressive skyline view of this here, right? Looking at a beautiful palace or castle or palace. But what's interesting about this story is that David didn't actually find his refuge in a beautiful palace as his refuge, or a fortress like we might envision, but actually in a dark, dirty cave. But when David is looking back on what happened in his life, he realized that God protected him. He gave him a safe place. The story goes that as David was running away from King Saul and his men, he hid in the back of this cave. And Saul actually walked into that same cave to relieve himself, and he never found David, who was hiding in the back of this cave. David was actually even able to sneak up behind him and cut off the corner of his robe. He could have killed Saul. But David hid back there. The Lord protected him. He was his fortress. David is realizing this from practical experience, but this is something that means so much more than that he could give you a cave to hide in back in the dark. But God is your fortress in every way. I talked about the different ways that we struggle with fear, maybe of shootings or war, but even other things like bullying and abuse, verbal or emotional abuse, or especially the spiritual attacks that we get from the devil. God is our refuge. For those of you who may be struggling with depression or stress or anxiety or fear, this is a message of great comfort that God invites you to take refuge in him, and he is a strong fortress. Jesus says something that reminds me of this when he says, "Abide in me." And we know when we know that Jesus is the Lord and he says, "Abide in me," we can know that Jesus is our hiding place, our shelter from the storm, your shield against the hurtful words and actions from your enemies and the devil's attacks. He is your rock, your firm foundation. He says even, "I am your light. I am the light of the world." It says that he has made my way blameless. You know, David was a sinner just like us, but the Lord forgave him and made his way blameless. He made him acceptable in his own sight. It says that he made my feet like the feet of a deer, or as this other translation said, like hind's feet, which is another way of saying deer. God gave him the ability to escape the danger and to even run towards a troop, giving him protection against these armies. And it says that he set me secure on the heights. This is a beautiful picture of being in safety. You know, when you're set on the heights, you have a great vantage point to look out and see where the danger is. And you're up away from the danger. And God set him apart from all of these things that he was afraid of, all these people that were attacking him, and most of all from his struggle with sin and the devil. The Lord Jesus set him apart. You know, when Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins, he won for you freedom from the wrath of God and from the power of the devil. He protected you. And so now today, if you put your trust in Jesus and you cry to him as David cried out to the Lord, you can take refuge in Jesus. And there is nothing that can attack you. The words of other people, they don't matter when God says that you are my beloved chosen one. You are safe and secure in Jesus. It doesn't matter what army will attack you when the Lord of angel armies, the God of angel armies, is protecting you. The devil has nothing to say to you. He cannot harm you when you abide in Christ, who died and rose again, giving you hope of resurrection. You don't need to fear even God's anger or wrath against you because you are hiding in Jesus. He is your cave, your fortress, your shelter, even from the wrath of God, because Jesus took the wrath of God for you to protect you. And so whatever it is that you might be fearing or struggling with in your life, I want you to hear that you can cry out to God. He invites you to take refuge in him. He is a real God, not just some unknown or stranger or far away God, but he is a God who is near, who has come here to help you, to intervene in your life, to provide for you, to protect you, and most of all through Jesus, to provide for what you need spiritually and in light of eternity, to make you blameless in the sight of God and to give you eternal life, hope of resurrection. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this good word for us, because we do live in a world full of fearful things, stressful things that we can't handle on our own, that are just too big for us, whatever they are. Especially, Lord, we think of how we can't stand against the devil's attacks on our own. We can't even resist temptations in our own flesh, Lord. We are so weak. And we certainly can't stand before you, the holy God of the universe, the God of angel armies, on our own. We need you. We need your forgiveness. We need your help. We need Jesus. And we thank you that you invite us to take refuge in you and in him. Thank you for his shed blood for us, that we can take refuge in his arms, being clothed in Christ, protected by him. Lord, that when you look at us, you see us as blameless and righteous, and you are on our side because of Jesus. In his name we pray, and take hope. Amen.